Yeah, I don't know how much of a sacrifice it was. Actually, I left a little bit early from BBS, and it became a little bit of a road trip for my wife and I to come up here and kind of get away. And 5 hours on the road gives you a good time to, you know, kind of unwind and fellowship with your wife. We don't get to see each other that often. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord. We're gathered here as your men in your name this morning, Lord, because our hearts want to hear from you. Lord, we want to be challenged by you. We want to be encouraged by you. Lord, we love you and we know that you love us more than we ever deserve. Lord, that we could never earn that love. And Lord, we know that you want to build each one of us into strong soldiers, into great men of God. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit would just reign here today. Lord, I thank you for Ed's testimony this morning. And Lord, I thank you the way you work in our lives, that your grace is truly sufficient for us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would just pour down on us right now. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I appreciate the breakfast, especially because you had meat, lots of meat. You had sausage and had bacon. You know, it's not like those the women's breakfast that you go to. And I used to fix the breakfast for the ladies at our church, and you know, it's always yogurt and granola. I know you got some out here. That's okay. That's good. That's the stuff we should be eating, but that's not the stuff I like. You know, I like all the meat stuff. We just got back from a 100-mile camp out. There was 12 of us from our church that floated down from Red Bluff to Colusa on the Sacramento River. And these guys that I went with, I mean, these are real outdoorsmen type guys, you know. I'm kind of wimpy, but these guys, we had, first morning we had elk sausage. That was it. Elk sausage, you know. And then the next day, you know, what are we going to have? We had elk burgers. You know, it's like, wow, this is pretty good. But yeah, lots of meat on that trip. It was a really good trip. Just real briefly, I'd like to tell you guys just a little bit about myself. I know as I go in different conferences, I like to know a little bit about the speaker and I'll just cover a couple things briefly. I've been married 35 years to the same woman. Awesome lady. Both of us were raging heathens. Didn't come to the Lord until I was 40 years old. I'm 57 now. Been walking with the Lord 17 years. You've been married 17 years. A lot of parallels in Ed's testimony. I was raised Catholic too. Went to Catholic school from first to eighth grade. And really had a lot of baggage in my life as a Catholic. And something you said that really I could identify was changing from religion to a relationship. That was really key for me in my life. And being a Catholic for years and years, going to church hundreds of times, never saved. I wasn't saved. It's crazy. Yeah, but when you realize, the first time I heard the gospel was at Calvary Chapel. Yeah, first time I really heard the gospel. And when I heard it, I knew that it was right and true. Gave my life to the Lord. My whole family came to the Lord within 6 weeks. And it was awesome. I have two kids. They're both married now, and they're both serving the Lord. I have a daughter and a son. Yeah, my son got transferred to Alabama, so he's in Huntsville, Alabama. Born and raised in California all his life. He's been in Alabama now 9 months. Culture shock, you know? But he's doing pretty good. He's doing good there. He's with an army contractor. So I've been an assistant pastor for 4 years. Like I said, I was just saved 17 years ago. It took me a while to get things, but it's been a blessing. I love what I do. I'm in full-time ministry at our church. Love the Lord, love what I do, and I just love serving the body of Christ. So that's about as brief as I can keep. Oh, I have two grandchildren, too. The last 9 months, the Lord blessed us with grandchildren. One from my daughter, one from my son. And we can't get enough of them. So I've been to Huntsville twice already. So, Okay, we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you want to open there, starting at verse 11. We're going to go through 16. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Jesus Christ who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in His own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to Him be honor and might forever. So just before this passage, Paul was instructing Timothy about the dangers of the love of money. Now, you know that famous passage, you know, the love of money is the root of evil. And he was just admonishing him there that to flee from those things and to seek godly attributes. And in our passage, that's how our passage kind of transfers into that, is because it starts off, but you, man of God, flee from all this. He was speaking of the love of money and the things that come with that, temptation and desires of the flesh. So he's telling Timothy here to run away this, instead pursue godly attributes. And that's kind of what I want to focus on this morning. It's not so much to examine all the particular details of this passage as we normally do as Calvary pastors. We kind of dissect the word verse by verse. And that's good, and it's true, and it's needed. But this morning, I want to really focus on a small part of this passage that we could just kind of blow by if we're not really paying attention to this passage. And what that is the term that Paul uses to describe Timothy. He calls him man of God. Man of God. Now, we might think that's not that big of a deal. Man of God. Yeah, I've seen it in the Word. I've seen that term used. But check this out. That's the only time that Paul refers to anyone other than the Lord. It's only Timothy calls him man of God. It's the only time in the New Testament that anyone's referred to as man of God other than the Lord is Timothy. Refers to him as man of God. In the Old Testament, you have Moses, you have David, Elijah, Elijah and Elisha, and an angel and a few other prophets referred to man of God. So it's a fairly unique term that's used in the Word of God. It's a special term, and it's one that God has set aside for a higher purpose. It goes beyond being saved. That's not a term that's used for people that are saved exclusively. That's a given. This is an elite group, the man of God. But think about this. As professing believers, each one of us, really being called a man of God should be a goal of our life. To be called that man of God. And I don't mean to be called or looked at upon as a churchgoer or a doer of good things. Those are good. Those are fine. But the man of God is a step higher than that. It's a sold out, it's a spirit led, it's an obedient lover of the Lord. Now, Pastor Mike can verify this as teachers of the Word, we teach to ourselves first. I don't have a market on this man of God business at all. But that's what the Lord laid on my heart to share today. And I preach to myself first this. Okay? So, who is a man of God? There are many godly attributes that would make up the man of God, obviously. But there are three practical principles that I wanted to cover today that the Lord gave with me. The first of those practical principles is the man of God must have his life priorities straight. He must have his life priorities straight. And I'll elaborate on these things in a little bit. Number two, he must be determined in his purpose. Determined in his purpose. And number three, he must be growing, not shrinking. Now these traits are useful in the world, obviously. These principles are also useful in the world, but they're critical in our walk with the Lord. Okay, number one, the man of God must have his priorities straight, his life priorities. Now if I asked you guys right here, and I don't want you to raise your hands, I said, if I asked you guys, how many of you put Jesus Christ number one in your life? He's your number one life priority. And I would bet that most of you would raise your hand. I go into the jail ministry once a week. And in there, when we have a group of men, we kind of do a thing where we take their spiritual temperature. And we never ask them, how many of you guys are Christians? Because they all raise their hand. What we ask them is, how many of you are born again, sold out, believers walking in the Spirit of God? And we don't get that many hands. We get a few. But the point is there is that we need to be looking at those priorities in our life and be self-examining ourselves to see where we're at with that. And that's what you call taking your spiritual temperature. You know, Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And he wasn't saying that so you're always questioning your salvation, but there should be fruit in your life that demonstrates that you are sold out to the Lord, that you are making Him your number one priority. A guy in our fellowship, an older guy, he says, you know, when you look at yourself, he says, you know, we don't want to be too judgmental, but we can be fruit inspectors. Fruit inspectors. In other words, look at the fruit in your life, the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and that's a determination of where you're at with the Lord. You guys know all those things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. All those little elements and more, and it's not just those nine, but more in the Word, demonstrate that the Lord is making a difference in our life, that we're sold out to Him, and that things are going on in our life that is changing us from the inside out. The other thing is the log syndrome. You know, the Lord said, you know, before you criticize the speck in someone else's eye, look at the log that's in your own eye. And that's a great thing for us to do, is that sometimes we have a tendency, depending on where we're at in our walk, we have a tendency to focus all the time on other people and see all the faults of them, particularly in our relationships. I remember a time distinctly in my life with my wife where I, you know, all the time it seemed like, wow, I'm growing so close to the Lord. And I remember looking and going, boy, she still has that little problem. And he's got all this, you know, and then the Lord laid on my heart and said, hey, look at the log in your own eye, dummy, you know. And it was like, shut up about her. You know, you just take care of your own problems. You know, give those up to me. I'll take care of her. So, we want to make sure that, take your spiritual temperature. Make sure that your priorities are right. The other thing is, surrender to the Lord. Is our surrender to Him 100%? Surrender's defined, Webster's defines it, the action of yielding one's person or giving up the possession of something, especially power, into another. Also says to give up completely or agree to forego, especially in favor of another. Give up completely. And last, to give oneself up unto the power of another, especially as a prisoner. As a prisoner. Are we prisoners of the Lord? And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, but in the sense that we're slaves to righteousness, not to sin. that we're giving our life to Him 100% completely, without reservation. And that doesn't mean that we go off to a monastery and become monks and live there secluded or be in full-time ministry. It doesn't mean that. It means where God has you planted right now. Is He number one in your life? Have you surrendered to Him completely? The things that may entangle you. Is there that one or two little things that you're hanging on to? You just can't let those things go. He wants all those things. Give those all to Him. Every one of them. Romans 12:1-2. You guys know this one. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So He tells us in Romans, He says, present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord. Living sacrifices. We're all living. It's saying that every day our life needs to be a sacrifice to the Lord. A good thing for me to do is first thing in the morning when I get up is I have a quiet time, and that's when I want to do my devotion time with the Lord. That's when I want to pray. That's when I want to read the Word before the busyness of the day gets going. And Charles Spurgeon said one time, he said, I dare not look into the face of a man for the day until I've looked into the face of the Lord. And I like that because it reminds me that I need to be set before I step out into the world for that day. You know how it can go. You know, you miss reading the Word a couple of days. You miss being in prayer. And you start to slip back into the old man real easy. You know, your tongue starts to slip and your actions, your attitude, and you're going, what? What's going on? Yes, I need to be focused. I need to make the Lord my priority. And for me, it works the first thing in the morning. For others, it's different times. The last thing on that point is be careful about fence sitting too. I know for myself, for many years, I felt very comfortable in my walk and where I was with the Lord. Not that we're not, you know, supposed to be always beating ourselves up, but we got to be careful with that. You know, we can get to a stagnation point in our lives, especially on this point of surrender. Don't predicate your surrender in your life on anyone else in your family, on your wife, on your kids, on anyone else. It's your relationship with the Lord. If your wife's not quite along, maybe some of you have wives that aren't believers even. There's several guys in our fellowship that their wives are not believers. And those guys are faithful, faithful brothers, and we pray for their wives all the time. But it's hard. It's hard. But don't predicate your walk based upon your wives. You are to be the spiritual leaders in your homes, and your relationship is with the Lord. What your wife's business with the Lord is hers. We want to be spiritual leaders, but not spiritual pushers. Okay, my last word on this surrender thing is balance. We want to be balanced in all things, okay? There's a guy in our fellowship, he leads worship. Chris, and thank you for the worship this morning, by the way. He's a guitar player in our fellowship, and the guy is on fire for the Lord. I mean, he just loves him. He, you know, if you ask him any time or day, hey, Chris, can you do worship on Tuesday? Yes, I'll be there. And he just wants to do worship all the time. But you know, he came to me a couple months ago and he says, you know, my wife and I are kind of having problems because I'm at the church all the time. And you know, his enthusiasm and his fervor for the Lord, he was misreading ministry as his faithfulness to the Lord and neglecting really his family. And we've got to be careful with that. We've got to be careful with ministry. And I know Mike can testify that as well. Is that God wants us to do all things well that He's called us to do in our lives. If you're married, He wants you to be a good husband. If you're a father, He wants you to be a good father. And if you're serving the Lord in any capacity, He wants you to do that as well too. But none of those things at the sacrifice of the other. They're all your callings in the Lord, right? Colossians 3:23 and 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. So, it's critical that the man of God's priorities are in order. The Lord is first without a doubt, and the Lord's will is always first. There should be no other throne that competes with the Lord's. It's for you. On Easter Sunday, our pastor's up on the podium and his cell phone goes off. And he was so embarrassed he couldn't do anything but pick it up and answer it. He's talking on the phone right there. This is a crack up. Okay, number two, the man of God must be determined in his purpose. And purpose in our life and determination in our life can be a good thing if it's channeled correctly. I remember years ago in high school, I was determined that this girl that I saw standing over by the snack counter was going to be my girlfriend. She was a babe, and I wanted to get to know her. I just saw her for the first time, but something about her, just I was determined she was going to be my girlfriend. And as I talked to her, we got along, I was amazed. And I already had a girlfriend at the time, but I was determined that this, she would be my new girlfriend. And we talked for a time, and as it worked out, the Lord blessed it, even though I was a raging heathen. And we've been married 35 years. That's my wife. But that determination there in the flesh, you know, determination can be good, but spiritually it's dynamite, and it really needs, we need to have that as men of God, is to be spiritually determined. And when I say spiritually determined, I mean if we're believers and followers in Christ, then we have to be cooperating with the Holy Spirit. We have to be fully giving ourselves to that prompting of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that changes us. We don't change ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit that changes us from the inside out. But we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He can lead us to that water, but He can't make us drink. We still have free will and choice. And He may lead us there, but we have to cooperate fully with Him. We need to be determined to cooperate so that it's by default in our lives. That it's not something we're going, I wonder if I should be obedient today. Or, you know, that I don't know if I should do this or do that. I know that's wrong. It should be a spontaneous reaction in our life, and it takes practice to do that. The more obedient that we are, the more natural it comes for us. And that's cooperation with His Holy Spirit. Paul's charge to Timothy, we see in this passage that we're looking at this morning, these are all action words in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. You notice that starting at verse 11, he says, flee from all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life. And down at the verse 14, he says, and keep this command without spot or blame. These are all actions. These are all commands. These are all urgings, as Paul's giving, that are really up to us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Now, John 14:21, Jesus is speaking, and He says, whoever has My commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves Me. He who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I too will love him and show Myself to him. So He who is the one who loves Me, obeys My commands. You know, we're prompted by the Holy Spirit. We have the choice. We can make those choices. But the Lord wants us to be determined to be obedient to Him. And oh, by the way, if you are, you're the one that loves the Lord. And if we say we love the Lord, we should be obedient to Him. So be determined to follow hard and obey fully, but only if you love the Lord. Again, I think if I asked you guys how many of you love the Lord, I think I'd have all hands up. If we love Him, be determined to obey His commands and follow hard after Him. Okay, number three, the man of God is growing. And I don't mean in our waistlines. I mean here in our determination to go forward, not to be stagnant, in our knowledge of Him, in our obedience of Him, in our abiding in Him. That's another thing I can recall as a, especially early in my walk, is that, when you find out that it's belief in Jesus Christ that saves you, that that's such a freeing thing. My nephew, I had the blessing of leading my nephew to the Lord. He's a police officer in Newport Beach. And he just gave somebody a ticket on his motorcycle. And he pulled over to the side. And I got an email from him that said, "Hey, I just read this book called Left Behind." He was Catholic, too. He says, I just read this book, Left Behind, and it says that it's belief in Jesus Christ that saves us, and it's not by works. What's up with that? You know? And he just sends me this email out of the blue. I hardly communicated with him because he lived so far away. But he knew that my brother and I were believers, so he sent the email to me. And so I called him at that time, and he just happened to be finished, and I said, "Hey, Robert, so I read your email," and I said, "Do you want to talk about this right now?" He says, "Yeah." I said, so I talked to him, I just expounded on what he had read already, and I said, "Is there any reason why now you wouldn't want to ask the Lord to be your Savior, your personal Savior and your Lord?" And he said, "No, I want to do that, and I want to ask for forgiveness of my sins." So anyway, led him to the Lord, and he said it was like a great anchor being taken off of his neck. Because trying to do things through works, trying to earn your salvation is a dead-end street. It doesn't work. It never has, and man has been trying to do that for thousands of years, and it's not what saves us, obviously. But I remember a time in my own walk where I said, "Okay, I'm saved now. Okay, I've been saved through grace, through faith, and I believe in the Lord. Wow, this is cool." And I just kind of cruised, you know. I wasn't really seeking to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and not really getting into His Word daily. And I heard a speaker one time talk about it and said, "You know what?" He says, "You know, when we're saved with the Lord, it's not time to sit down. It's time to stand up. It's time to grow not only in your knowledge of the Lord, but also in your serving Him and just the whole package of knowing the Lord and growing in the appreciation for what He's done for us. Out of that appreciation for being saved, there needs to be a response in our own hearts and minds. Not a works thing, not a legalistic approach to it, but out of the gratitude of our heart, it should spawn something in our walk that wants to know Him more and to serve Him more." And I had a problem with that, but the Lord finally hit me on the head with a 2x4. What happened is a man got up in our fellowship and he says, I serve in the jail ministry," and he says, "I don't know the Word very well," he says, "but I know enough to evangelize," he says, "and I go in and I see these prisoners, and there's hundreds of them that are waiting to hear the Word of God," and he says, "and if I can do it, you can do it." You know, I thought, wow, why not? Why not? If the Lord wants to use me, then I'll be used by Him. And that was 15 years ago. Started going into the jail ministry, and we've seen tremendous fruit in that ministry, and it's just been a blessing. The blessing, guys, when we serve the Lord, the blessing is ours. He blesses us. You know, we may be helping others, or we may be, you know, leading some to the Lord. We may be pouring cement. Whatever we're doing is serving the Lord. A blessing is ours. Amen? Yeah. So, I'm not saying that we have to have some regimen to be sanctified. I'm not saying that whatsoever. It's not a legalistic thing. But I know that you can grow lazy in the Lord. And that's what I'm trying to say, is that without exercise of the spiritual gifts that the Lord has given each one of us, we grow fat. We grow fat and we grow lazy. We need to exercise our spiritual gifts and our spiritual habits. Three spiritual habits that I highly recommend. Number one is prayer. Number two is being in the Word. Number three is hanging out with other people that love the Lord. Spiritual habits. Practical things that we could do, not from a work standpoint, but just to stay spiritually fit. And we need to do those things regularly, not just occasionally. Second thing is, we can help to keep our families fit as well. It's an important part in our own growth process to realize that as men, we are called to be the spiritual leaders in our family and to spiritually lead our wives and our children first by our example. First by our example. That's what they're going to look at. Always greater than words, right? Our deeds are always going to speak more than our words. They need to see that we love the Lord, that we're following the Lord, that we're attempting to grow in Him and to be men of God. So lead first by example and our deed and attitude. And the Word says, be holy because God is holy. Holy, set apart for Him, right? Dabbling with the things of the world, but set apart for God and the things of God. Praying with your wife for me, that was a real hard thing to pray with my wife. Is that when we were first believers, and it was like the first couple of years that it was very awkward for us because we came from raging heathen background to begin with. And it was awkward for us to pray out loud to begin with. But to pray with my wife, I mean, she knew me better than anything. And I knew her. And, you know, praying to the Almighty God together was a heavy thing. But we both knew that that was important for our own growth. And so we did. We started slowly, a little bit at a time, to pray together. And we were kind and gentle to each other. And over time, it became just a natural thing. Now, I mean, we pray together every day. We love to pray together. We love to come to the throne room together as a couple, as one in Christ. And just pray with Him. Just praise Him and pray for others. And it's a great way to for yourself spiritually, also for your family. And what do you think the kids think when they see you praying together? It builds them up. You know, it's like that, it's like the verse in Ephesians 4:29, don't let any wholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is valuable for building up others according to their needs so that it may benefit those who listen. That's the kids. Benefit those who listen. Okay, and I mentioned being a spiritual leader, not a spiritual pusher, and what I mean by that is we can have a tendency to get into that log spec syndrome with our wives and kids. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Lead by example. Find ways to make Scripture normal in your household. I used to, my son, when he was about your age, I used to leave him Post-its on his Bible with a verse. Hey, check out this verse today. You know, and put it on his Bible. And then we'd put Scriptures on the refrigerator and stuff like that. And just made it a normal type of thing in our household. You know, before it would be the TV guide or, you know, some other thing of the world. But, you know, my son today, you know, says, you know, I really liked those little Scriptures when you left those Post-its for me. And I go, oh, I thought I was bugging you, but The Lord used it. Okay, so wrap it up, guys. You know, it's really pretty simple. God loves us radically. And He desires us to love Him radically as well. God desires to call each one of you a man of God, but it must be real. It has to be real. That first step is we have to be surrendered to Him. And there's really nothing that stops us from being surrendered completely. There really isn't. We can go through all kinds of gyrations with justifications in our own life. It's a natural thing to do. But there really is nothing to keep us from surrendering. Number two is if you are surrendered, stay surrendered to Him. Because He first loves us, He first loved us, and He continues to love us. Cooperate with His Holy Spirit and be determined to be obedient to Him, demonstrating that you truly love Him. And don't get lazy in the Lord. Exercise daily the spiritual habits we talked about for yourself and for your family and most importantly for your Savior. And last, be encouraged. It is God that does the work in us. We can't change ourselves. He does that, and He does it from the inside out, but it's our choice to cooperate with His Holy Spirit. And that's fully and daily. Remember, no matter what your situation is, God loves us. And He knows us better than we do. He promises to work all things for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And He also promises to finish the work that He started in each one of us. The man of God is a lofty title, and only God truly can assign that to any man. But give God your best, not your leftovers, and He'll honor that to the fullest. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, once again, we thank You for Your Word, Lord, that has all that we need for life and eternity. And Lord, I just thank You for these men. And Lord, I do pray that for each one of them, Lord, that You would continue to work in their lives to draw them closer to You every day. And Lord, I truly pray that they surrender to You fully, that they stay surrendered, Lord, and Lord, that they continue to, Lord, to grow in You daily. And Lord, it could only happen through Your Spirit, Lord, so I just pray for a filling of Your Spirit in each man, Lord, as we surrender to You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You're the God of peace, the God of salvation. Lord, that You pulled each one of us out of that miry pit. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to serve You. And Lord, we thank You for this beautiful day, Lord. May we go in Your peace and Your love. In Jesus' name, amen.